You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 14 May. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Wayne McCurry. He had some tweets out yesterday around forget inflation, watch commodity prices. Let's delve into that. Keith McLachlan on keeping it simple versus keeping it complex. And then Maurice Madiba from Cloud Atlas. They're going to be changing one of their ETFs to an African bond ETF. There's a ballot process and the like, but I want to delve into the ETF it will become, the African bond. Sovereign bond ETF. A poll yesterday, we were asking about Naspers and Prosus trying again to close that discount to Tencent, this time with a share swap. Question we asked on our Twitter, our Facebook, LinkedIn, will it work this time? And frankly, it was evenly split between the no chances and the maybes. Time will tell. Certainly, there's some nuances here that I do like, but time will tell. MoneyWeb Now, brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche, in the USA from as little as $5,000. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb, 700 million rand retail and hotel expansion for Nelson Mandela Bay's Broadwalk Casino. It's tough out there for property, but it's not over. And as we've been chatting on this show for a year or more, there are bits that are going to do perfectly well and will continue doing well. Business Day, Naspers questioned on tax implications of share swap. There's two issues here. One is Naspers paying tax into South African SARS versus a process in Amsterdam. The other one is, if you are switching from Naspers to Prosus, SARS will consider that a sale of your Naspers and therefore will trigger CGT. Of course, you haven't got cash. You've got Prosus shares. You need the cash to pay the CGT. Morning markets are green for a change. US up, S&P 1.2%, Nasdaq up 0.7%, Sydney up 0.9%, and Turkey are flying up 2.1%. Commodities mixed, gold 18.22, Rand unchanged 14.12, and top 40 opening call, looking to open 20 points down. I won't say that's practically nothing. Let's call it a flat opening for the top 40.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Wayne McCurry, Senior Portfolio Manager, FNB Wealth and Investment. Wayne, morning. Appreciate the early morning time. You were tweeting out late yesterday around inflation and commodities. And almost in a sense, it's a case of really watch commodity prices to give us a sense of what will happen to inflation. And unless we're expecting commodities to double from these levels, inflation's probably going to fade out fairly quickly in the next, maybe 6 months in the US?
Yeah. Look, in the next 6 months, next 5 months, we're going to have high inflation simply because last year inflation actually was slightly negative because of the COVID. So whatever happens in the next 5 months, the number's probably going to be above 4%, maybe even 5%. Unless commodity prices drop. Now, if commodity prices drop over the next year or so, inflation will come down to the 2.5, maybe 3% level. Mm-hmm. But it's very dependent on inflation dropping. However, for a danger to markets, for this to be really dangerous to markets, commodity prices over the next year would have to double again from already decade-level highs, which I doubt very much. In other words, the end of the story is you might have a tough 4 or 5 months on markets with inflation numbers coming out at very high levels, but as long as commodity prices don't double again and maybe even fall next year, you know, towards the end of this year, beginning of next year, inflation's not a problem.
Yeah, I mean, Neil Frohman was doing, he was at a 91 event he was doing, and he's talking about a super cycle, but no one's thinking about doubling is what? Oil, 140, copper, 20,000, palladium, $4,500.
Yes.
I mean, just surely not. I mean, I can't see that. I mean, crazy things happen, but.
Yeah, but look, you always hear talk about super cycle after the prices have already doubled.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, I do believe in a super cycle. Mm-hmm. It's just maybe not the super cycle other people are. I believe in a electric vehicle, zero carbon emission super cycle. Mm-hmm. But I'm right and there is a super cycle, understand these are 20, 30 year cycles, and prices can halve and double in that period very easily. You know, super cycle doesn't mean prices just go up there.
Yeah, this, and yeah, to your point, it's not linear. Nothing goes ever in a straight line. A quick last point, Long for Life, good results.
Yes.
Still massive discount to net asset value. I can't help thinking that Brian Joffe maybe tried.
He's going to
close it and delist maybe?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think he's going to do that, yeah. Well, he's definitely going to try and unlock value because in their financials, they state the NAV at 7 Rand. And if they put it in there, it means Brian thinks it's probably worth at least 7 Rand. And what's the trading? It was up a bit yesterday, trading at 4 Rand 50.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but trading at those 12-month highs, but I got to say, it just, you know, it's a second act, and I don't think it's perhaps worked as great as he had
hoped. No, it hasn't, unfortunately.
We'll leave that there. Wayne McCurry, Senior Portfolio Manager, FNB Wealth and Investment. Sir, appreciate the early morning.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place?
Offshore.
While earning regular quarterly dividends in U.S. dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP.
Visit orbvest.com.
Business, finance, and investment news. MoneyWeb Now
with Simon Brown
on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Keith McLachlan. He's an investment officer, Integral Asset Management. Keith, appreciate the early morning. You wrote a piece for MoneyWeb on Purple Capital, I think it was last week. It came out maybe early this week. And one of the comments in the chat was someone was saying, you'd referred to it as a matchbox calculation. You know, this is not an in-depth discounted cash flow or anything. And the comment was, matchbox calculations often beat in-depth simply because less inputs and means kind of less things can go wrong. And it got me thinking, you know, there's a lot to be said for discount cash flows, for that complexity. Your take on the more we add to it, the more scope for error. How do you, as someone who does this for a living, sort of balance that simplicity versus complexity?
Morning, Simon. So the analogy I like to use is one of a game of pool or billiards.
Yeah.
Where if you're playing a shot and you're hitting the white ball into one pocket, it is a much easier shot to play than if you're hitting the white ball into multiple balls bouncing off the sides and trying to get them into different pockets, et cetera, et cetera. For those listeners that don't necessarily know these games, what I'm really saying is that assumptions and variables compound. And one can't assume that a mistake on one is offset by a mistake on another one. So in the worst case scenario, the more variables going into evaluation, the more chance there is that the outcome is actually rubbish. So in fact, you want to strip it down to its basics. And this is a concept called first principles, where you're trying to really understand what drives the business and the valuation. And that's it. And those become the key variables that you're looking at. So, and referencing that article about easy equities, what are the key variables that I build my matchbox calculation on here? Well, they are the things that drive the business and the valuation. So the things that drive the business is easy equities are the number of accounts and the monetization of those accounts. Then the key variable that drives that valuation is offshore, there's Robin Hood. So we have a relative valuation as a peg in the sand. So that, as a relative valuation, allows me to relatively value this one. And that's it. This becomes the key variables that you start to watch, not just as a business, but as a valuation.
I like that. So almost, I mean, in a sense, so your first port of call when you know, coming to a company for the first time to sort of do that dig is to actually decide what matters here. What are the important components? What are going to drive profitability and ultimately you know, the share price? And you know, in some cases that's going to be relatively simple. I'm thinking a mining company. You mentioned Purple Capital and accounts. Other times more complex, but it helps you know what to focus on and where to to put your time and effort?
So those are the things that generate upside. The first principles, the key assumptions going into is these are the things to watch. Mm-hmm. That will generate the upside because they drive the business. They drive the growth. They drive revenue, profitability, cash flows, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't mean you shouldn't look at everything else, but typically everything else, if there's something wrong with it, can create downside. What I mean by that is easy equities, as a yardstick, actually you touched on a mine. And what is a mine? First principles of a mine is it's a resource in the ground, it's a production profile coming out of the ground, and it's a spot price.
Yeah.
And everything else is basically noise, except if there's a problem with it, because you can have the best resource in the world, great production profile, and a rallying spot, but your balance sheet has too much debt and it sinks you. Do you see how everything else is important, but it doesn't add to the valuation, it can create downside. So look at everything else to manage risk, but in fact, understand first principles to manage and pick attractive valuations and understand the business, what you're buying.
And once you've got those first principles, I mean, and I take your point, that there are other moving parts there, but you've got those key components you're looking at. You're obviously going to make an assumption. And you know, whether it be in the case of Purple in terms of user growth or you know, profitability per account, or a mine in terms of production versus spot prices, you make that call. You come back in 6 months, 12 months when a new set of data comes out, you can fairly quickly see where you're getting it wrong, where you're perhaps under or overestimating the business and its profitability going forward. So it kind of gives you a nice, easy checklist for when you're reviewing your process.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a concept called dashboard management. And one can oversimplify the world. That's why this is a balancing act between sufficient complexity to capture these businesses accurately, yeah, but not too much so that you just get lost in noise and there's too many moving variables. Mm-hmm. But you now know what to watch. And watch that very closely. Watch that like a hawk. Be aware of the rest, but watch those key variables. And this is how you track not just one stock, but 1,000 across multiple markets. Is knowing what to look for, knowing what are the key variables. Absolutely. I mean, let me phrase it this way. It is always easier intuitively to call one or two things than to call 1,000. So if you've broken down the business correctly and you know what are the key drivers, that's what you're actually buying. Everything else starts to become just the circumstances in which you're buying it.
And a quick last point, and then to know, I mean, different industries, different things. Mining, it's spot price and production. Banking, it's you know, cost to income and impairments. Retail, it's operating margins. The different industries are going to have their own little sort of first principles broadly to keep an eye on.
Definitely. So it's a concept I call intuitive valuations. Behind money is just... it's just how we keep track of a score. In fact, behind money is inputs and outputs, and they ultimately generate utility. So there's a real world thing driving this business. Work out what the real world thing is. I mean, property is space. Is the space being rental going up, going down? Is there more, is less of it? You know, where is it? There's a real world, tangible something in the background, and then understand that.
Yeah.
That's what you're watching. That's what you're buying.
And no rocket science required. Keith McLachlan, Investment Officer, Integral Asset Management. Appreciate the early morning.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Maurice Madiba. He is MD Cloud Atlas Investing. They've got a couple of African-orientated ETFs on the JSE. Maurice, morning. Appreciate your time. You're changing one of your ETFs. There's a ballot process that will go through and the like. And let's park that aside. I'm interested in what it's changing into. In essence, you're going to be the new sort of index to be tracked will be the S&P African Sovereign Bond Index. In other words, giving us exposure to bonds across the African continent.
Yes, good morning, Simon. Thanks for having me today. Just before I start, you know, today is actually our government birthday on our registration document. So
happy birthday.
the company is turning 8, but it has evolved in many ways over the years. And this new sort of step that we're taking to convert our real estate fund into the sovereign bond tracker is about looking at an asset class which has been growing quite substantially and almost at a different risk profile from listed property over mm-hmm. the past year. So since 2008 financial crisis, the euro bond issuances of African governments have really ballooned from about 2 billion to 100 and over 100 billion over a decade or so. So quite an exciting asset class in the environment we find ourselves in at this moment, where in the world there's low yields, inflation potentially coming, but there's also being a scenario of deflation last year. But this is really what this asset class looks to counter, because the yields that are being offered by the African governments are fairly high at this stage.
Yeah, and they, you know, in many cases, not investment grade. I mean, let's be honest, neither is South Africa, right? It's credit ratings above B minus. It's Egypt, it's Ghana, it's Kenya, Morocco, Namibia, Nigeria, and South Africa. I mean, I think a lot of people look out on their continent and might think, oh, risk of default. I mean, truthfully, they're unlikely to default. These are bonds issued predominantly in their home currencies. It really is a good mix of sort of southern, northern, eastern, and western continent.
Yeah, so the sovereign diversity is quite good in this basket, and I think that what also you get is the nature of the underlying economy, so how they earn a lot of their foreign currency. So some of them are commodity exporters, as you have in the like of Nigeria and Egypt and South Africa as well. Mm-hmm. Where they earn a lot of their money via exporting gold, platinum, oil, and the like. You also have countries like Ghana, where they export soft commodities like cocoa and a few other things, Kenya with tea, etc. So those are pretty big earners of foreign currency. But on top of that, you've had over the years what they used to refer to as the brain drain of Africa. But actually what it's turned out into is a strong remittance pool. So a lot of Africans living abroad are actually sending a lot of euros, yen, dollar, into and pounds into Africa. And this has now almost eclipsed the FDI that Africa used to rely on for foreign currency over the years. So quite a strong mix, really, really pan-African, but also because it's dollars and because the source of dollars is quite strong. When you do investment grade assessments in that, you know, you find that Africa has a very strong balance sheet to be able to borrow in dollars at this point.
Quick last question. Does South Africa dominate? Often when these sort of African sort of indices, we dominate as a country. Is South Africa seriously dominant in this index?
South Africa is one of the larger constituents, but all the countries are capped at 20% in this index with S&P. So South Africa is at around a 20% weighting. South Africa and Namibia is slightly smaller at around 4% or so, but it's still within the index. And, you know, Namibia and South Africa share a common currency.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, so I would say that the exposure to the rand earners is around 24% in this index.
Okay. That's not actually, I actually thought we might see a much bigger number. Maurice Madiba, MD of Cloud Atlas Investing. Appreciate your early morning, sir.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
The show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Orbvest Diversified Holdings Number 4. This will invest you into a range of Orbvest investments offering instant diversification. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA, authorized financial service provider, license number 50483. The poll we are asking you today on our social media, LinkedIn and Facebook, as an investor, when doing your research, your valuations, do you prefer simple or complex? Always simple, complexity, bits of both. I got to say, I sort of err towards the simple, but I like Keith's point there around first principles. Give us a shout on LinkedIn and Facebook and have your view there. That's it for today. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7 a.m. on the MoneyWeb website, app, and of course wherever great podcasts are aggregated. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Cordora, Nicole, Matapelo, and Masekla, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the Money.